Let's do a review of this morning. I want it from the youth. Yanni, that's you. How many youth are here? In fact, I would like the youth to come sit in front because I'm talking to you tonight. I know you guys like the back seat, but I'm sorry, not tonight. You got to come sit in front of me. Okay. All right, youth. Yeah, you are. Okay, we talked about, let's look at John 15 was our verse. Where are your Bibles? How many have their Bibles? I'm looking. Get yours there. So find somebody to sit next to that has a Bible. Parents left their Bible at home too? Okay, so you have one. Okay. John 15:11. John 15:11 says what? Abigail, you have to open it. Because of that, you get to read the verse, Abigail.
So that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
Now, the this was what? The these things. Because just this doesn't say it to me. When you just hear this, it doesn't do the same thing to me as these things. When you have heard these things, what things are we talking about? Oh, you actually are writing your Bible. Good for you. See, I said they could do this. It's okay. It's not sacred. Okay. And it would be nice for you to also put Dr. Mack in. No. Okay. These things, why? Why did he tell us these things? What does he want us to have? Yes. And? You remember what Pastor Lisa said? Yes. Yes. Full, overflowing, bubbling all the time. Yes. Picture it. I'm surprised we didn't see bubbling. You must not know that song, Stan. You don't know that we're bubbling, bubbling?
No.
I must be old. Well, I am old. I mean, I didn't know I was that old. Okay. That's true. You are. Okay. We looked at what the things were this week. Geez, it seemed like a week. It was only a few days, right? What were the things we covered? What was the first thing we covered? Biblical parents? She's right. She just said it a little differently than I would comprehend. Okay, biblical parents. We sure did. Because we not only looked at father, because I don't know in your homes, but in my home, Wayne is not always the problem. That I can be a problem. And so we looked at the scripture. Do you remember the scripture? Didn't you write it down in your notes? 1 Thessalonians. Biblical. I will put parent. Parents. Whoops. See? I got to put the lid back on. I'm not good at this. Okay. 1 Thessalonians. I need a keeper. 1 Thessalonians. Probably 2 Thessalonians. But head to the first book, and I think it's 2. It is 2. Verse 7. I'll wait for you to find it. It's New Testament. There you go. The page. See, this is why Daniel likes his Bible, because it has the tabs on it. And he doesn't have to look up the verses. He can just see the little tab. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 7. Yes. This is good practice. It gets the pages unstuck. Okay. I'll have it. I'll wait for you to find it. It's back there. Okay, 2. Verse 7. Okay, now Paul is talking, and Paul in verse 7 says, but we behaved how? Gently, like a nursing mother. Now, this was a male man in gender, and he said, when we came to you, we were like mothers to you. We were nursing, we were tender, we were gentle, and that beats the stereotype, because men are not that way, the system tells us, but not the character of Christ that's being developed in us. In fact, Paul said, I come to you in the meekness and gentleness of the Lord. That's the mother to me. And so we looked at, besides the father, we also looked at the biblical mother. And when we had our prayer time, we looked at both mom and dad, that if there were issues, we couldn't see the kind of nurturing and caring a father or mother would do from God if we had a problem that mom and dad did not nurture, or we didn't have that kind of care from them as it affects. So that's why we looked at biblical parenting. And we saw also then in verse 11, Chris, would you read it for us real loud?
For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children.
All right, so he came also as a father. So in one church setting, he was both mother and father. He took on those characteristics, which says to me, when the character of Christ is being formed within us, we will have those characteristics. I'm not going to become a man. I will have the ability that what Paul did, he exhorted, he charged, he encouraged them. That's an ability that God is going to give me so that I don't have to look around for a man to be able to, in a situation, exhort. That God can birth that within me, that I'm able to give whatever is needed at the time. That was our goal. Jesus did. Was he not at times tender? He had the children come up to him and he nurtured them. He took care of them. He was tender to the woman that came caught in adultery. Gave mercy. How can you be full of compassion and not be what we would call the female gender type? And what God's doing, he's stripping us of the stereotype the world tells us, and he wants us to be different according to the world and be what the Bible says we're to be. The fullness. Okay, what was number two that we covered? Remember what the second thing we prayed about and looked at?
Obedience.
Yes, we did. And in obedience, what kind of obedience? With what? What was our motive to obey? The motivation of obedience was love. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so we looked at obedience and we had prayer for obedience. And we are now going to be obedient children. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
And the parents said, amen. Okay. And then this morning, what did we look at? Not just prayer. Joy comes with answered prayer. Not just prayer, but when I see God move, isn't that when you get excited? You aren't so sure, some of you. Yes or no? Answered prayer. Okay, and tonight we're going to look at the fourth thing. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's what we're going to look at tonight. All right, let's look at John 14. These are the these things. That if we walk in these things, allow God to deal with these things in our life, our joy is going to be full. And that's where I'm heading. That's my goal. I want to be full of joy, not just when we sing the song, not just when even answered prayer. I want it to be a lifestyle in my life. John 14. This is context. I went back to find out what Jesus said. That would be the these things. And in the context of 14, verse 12, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he himself will be able to do the things that I do, and even greater things, because I go to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, representing all I am, so that Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. Yes, I will grant whatever you ask in my name. Now, what's the key in my name? We talked about that this morning. According to his character. That's why that was strange. I have prayer down here. Okay. Are there notes on the floor over there? No, they're here in my Bible. Okay. 14:15. If you really love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father. And what will the Father give you? Verse 16 of John 14. Another comforter. And why is he going to give us a comforter? Because he's going to teach us how to pray. He's going to teach us how to love with obedience. That's, to me, the context here. He's saying that you're going to be doing these things, but I'm going to send you a comforter. And one of the definitions the Amplified says is helper. A helper is going to come inside you and help you. 17, what does verse 17 say? What is this comforter, helper going to be like? He's going to be what? Spirit of truth. World can't receive. It doesn't see him, recognize him. But you will know him. Why? Why will you know him? It's in that verse. Last part of that verse. He'll be in you. And we're going to talk about that tonight because he's in you. But what's he doing in you? What's the point of and the purpose that he's in you? Just to sit around, have a good time? He's in there for a purpose. I want you to write for your notes, John 15, 26. We're going to look at that, John 15, 26. 15, 26. Got it? Huh? No, do you have the scripture? Okay, read it for me. 15?
26.
26.
When the counselor comes whom I will send to you, from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me.
Okay, now when the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, who is he going to be talking about?
Us.
Okay, who's he going to? Jesus talking, and Jesus said he's going to testify about me. Well, he's going to talk about you too, honey. That's true. He's going to start convicting you and tell you some things. But he's also going to tell you about Jesus. He wants to bring revelation to you about Jesus. John 16:5. And then I want to talk about and give you some other scriptures. That's not it. 15, maybe. Oh, 13. Can you read my own notes? John 13. When he just, you got it? Okay. 16:13, thank you. 16:13. Okay, Yanni, you want to read it?
When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth.
First of all, what was he going to do? He's going to guide you into all truth. He is not going to lie to you. All right? Next thing.
For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come.
Okay, now, who's the Holy Spirit talking to? Who's the He? Who's He going to tell you about? Yes. He's listening to Jesus, and Jesus is talking to Him, talking about you, and talking to the Spirit about what He wants to do in your life. I want us to now look at John 7, 37. I'm going to give a foundation, and then I'm going to be practical in how we can walk this out. John 7, 37. Got it? Annabeth, right? Beth Ann, that's close. Right? Bethany. Okay, you want to read it for me?
On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink."
Okay, 38.
Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within.
39.
By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Okay, so this Spirit. Now, he's given us two conditions about the Spirit being in us and flowing. The first one is thirsty, which means, do we desire for the Holy Spirit to be in constant control of our lives, giving us the desire to be cleansed, to be judged, to be healed, to be guided, to be directed? Because tonight we're going to pray for that, because a lot of times we're not thirsty for that. We want our own desires, our own wills, our own way, and we need to really ask. And then the second condition is, do we believe Jesus? Not only believe him, but that he wants to give us that Spirit and flowing like waters out of your life. And there are going to be a lot of thirsty people that will need what you have. And if the water is, I don't even have a little cup in you, they're not going to get much from your life. But if that Spirit is bubbling over and flowing, all they have to do is be around you, and the Spirit will begin to minister to them. That's what I want. It won't be what I say or do. It will be who I possess. Who is in my life that I'm giving control over. Okay. Then I want us to look at, I don't want that verse yet. James, let me see if I have the verse. Yep, I do. Okay, let's look at Ephesians 5:18 first. Ephesians 5:18. Is this being taped? Okay, good, because I'm going to say some things. I want to make sure it's on the tape. Ephesians 5:18. Now, Pastor talked about the first part of that this morning. 18. You have it, Dan? Will you read it?
Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit.
Okay, now, there are four Greek rules, and I know this is going to go over your head, but I want it on the tape, okay? That explains this first. The first rule is the verb filled. Do you see the word filled? Be filled? Yes or no? In the verse? Yes, okay. That verb is imperative, and in the imperative mood, it is imperative that what we must be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. Be filled. You don't have an option, a choice. God's saying, and as obedient children, we want, therefore, to be filled. God's saying that divine enablement is something he's commanding us. It's imperative. Number two, the tense of the verb filled is in the present. And this tense in the imperative mode always represents action going on. In other words, it's saying, keep being filled. It isn't a one-time thing. We've got to keep being filled with the Spirit. The third rule is the verb is plural in number, which means it's for everybody. It's not just leaders, not just men, it's everybody. And the last rule, the verb is in the passive voice, represents the subject of the verb is inactive. We are the subject of the verb. We are the ones to be filled. We are inactive. And the agent doing it is the actor. In other words, there's nothing we do to be filled. He does it. He acts on us. So we constantly need to be filled, which means we need to be constantly yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. To keep being filled is saying, okay, and we will have some examples of how to actually do that practically. All right. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What's the process? What are the scriptures that tell me how to do that? Let's look at James 4:5. James 4. We have this verse and one more, and then I'm going to go to practical. James. Because then I want to pray for you kids. James 4:5. I need to know what it says in your translation. What translation do you have, Yanni?
I have
American Standard. Do you have anything different, Abigail? No. Okay, I want to hear the different translations. James 4, 5. Read yours first, Abigail.
Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies and hates us?
Okay, now what in the world does that mean? That the Holy Spirit in you, what was the phrase, Abigail? Is envious intently. Earnestly desires. The translation in the Greek means this. The Spirit who has taken up residence, his permanent abode in you, is constantly and earnestly desiring to the point of envy. Now, what is he desiring? We have to go to Galatians 5:17 to find out what does the Spirit desire in you? What does he want to do? Galatians 5:17. Galatians 5:17. Okay, what does your translation say, Yanni? 17.
For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please.
Okay. Let me tell you the Greek translation. For the flesh has a strong desire to suppress the Spirit. So your flesh wants to put down the Spirit, wants you not to listen to the voice, tries to crowd out the voice. The Spirit has a strong desire to suppress the flesh. So you have them both with strong desire. So the Spirit wants his desire. So now what is the Spirit within you envious? What's he desiring with a jealousy inside you? Just read it. What does he want to put down? Your flesh. He's right now in you, jealous. He's jealous for any opposing deity in you. Every opposing desire in you, he is zealous against it. Wants to war against it. And yet our flesh is also has a strong desire, doesn't it? We like to sin. We like to do the things we do. We like to whatever. And it has its own strong desire to sin and suppress the Spirit. That's the war you got going on inside you. And what the Spirit inside you is envying with a strong desire is to put down your flesh. He wants to do it more than you do. That's why all you need to do is begin to repent and yield. And he says, now finally, they finally quit and said, Uncle, I can begin to have authority. I can begin to work. I can begin to change. They've given me the right. And what the word filled means is control. I can be filled but not controlled with the Holy Spirit. It can leak out, I'll tell you. I want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, which means I have to give up what? Control. And it's constant. To live this life is to walk in the Holy Spirit, which means every moment, every decision, Father, I'm leaning on the Spirit within me. Help me. Help me, Spirit. Give me the power to do what I need to do. Give me the desire to want to do. That's the constant dependency. And yet we're raised to be totally independent. We do our own thing. We do our own. Well, I can figure this one out. You can't figure anything out. And the very admonition we got from the Lord this morning through pastors, you can't do without the power of God. Because your flesh will rise up and say, it's okay to have one drink. You're not going to be a drunk. It's okay to watch the internet. It's okay to get your cell phone on and text messaging. Who are you hurting? It's okay to look at nudes and pornography. What's the big deal? I'm not hurting anyone. I've not actually had sin. I've not actually had intercourse. So what's the big deal? Your flesh loves it. And Satan goes, yay! Woo, 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 woo! Now, who do you want rejoicing? Satan is rejoicing over the church of Jesus Christ because we are allowing the flesh to rule through our own base desires, even our desire for good and to do the right thing. If it's not by the Spirit of God, it's sin. Now, the process we're going through to be filled, the goal is, and I love because your pastor preaches on it, the fullness of God in my life. And I believe it can happen. I remember my daddy's church reading that scripture and I said, God, I want that. I want to be full of God. I didn't know what it would cost me, but I said, I want that. I didn't know it would cost me Diane. Every part of me, every thought and desire, everything, because it's the first Adam. None of it's good. I want red. Let's go red for the first Adam. No, that's the blood. Let's go blue. Okay, my first Adam. Even the good that I do, even my character that's right, all has to go through the cross. All of it. And come out. And B, so I think of it as the divine exchange. I say to the Lord, okay, I'm still angry in this situation and I want to punch him in the nose, but I'm asking right now, Lord, I repent for this and I'm giving you this anger. I need the long-suffering of Christ. Replace this, Lord, with your long-suffering, your ability to hold your temper and be slow to anger. And that's what I do moment by moment. Saying, I've lost my joy, Lord. It took one situation in the grocery store, standing in front of an old woman who's taking 15 minutes just to walk up. And I'm in a hurry. Bless God. I've got things to do for God. I don't have time to stand in front of this line here. Where'd my joy go? Took a little old lady. I stood in that line, got convicted by the Holy Spirit because that spirit within me is jealous for his place and doesn't like Diane taking over. And started convicting me. You can listen or not, church. It's your choice, and that's the power you have. And if you can't choose it, then you start with saying, Lord, you changed my will because I like doing this, and I'm not going to stop. Because we are rebels by heart. Don't kid yourself. We are all rebels at heart. And we want to be independent. We don't want to need anybody. And I got convicted and I started repenting and said, God, I need you to give me the power for patience. I want to look at Colossians 1:11. This has become my verse for years, because I went to a lot of power conferences. And I was in a power conference. And the Lord gave me this scripture, which of course I didn't like at the time, but he was telling me something very definite. Colossians 1:11. Got it? Colossians 1:11. He's praying that you may be what? Oh, I'll wait. Colossians, I'll wait for you. Everyone get it? Colossians? Colossians 1:11. I'm waiting. I want you to read it in your Bible. It doesn't do any good to have it sitting on your lap. Good. Look it up and find where it is. C-O-L. I tell you the page in my Bible, but it wouldn't be any good. 1:11. Uh-huh. 1 verse 11. Okay, got it? You want to read it for me? Yep.
Being strengthened with all power with glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully. Do you want to read the next one?
Okay, he's giving us power to be patient, long-suffering with what? Yes, louder.
Joy.
Joy, she says it so joyfully. Yes, joy. Because you and I can be patient and long-suffering and be gloomy and sour and because I'm suffering from the Lord and you know what I went through. And I want to look like that so you'll ask me and feel sorry for me. And if I have joy, you won't feel sorry for me. And I stood there and the Spirit gave me this verse. You want power, huh? You can't even handle a little old lady. So I said, yes, Lord, I want the power to be patient with this little old lady. Because one day I will be her. And someone will be waiting, hopefully patiently, for me. And I sat there and then I said, but I just don't want to be patient. What's the last word? I've already lost my joy. I want joy. Not because my circumstances are joyful, but Lord, you promised you'd give me your joy in the midst of my circumstances. So I said to the Lord, tell me a joke. See, I don't know the Lord's joke. So I said, tell me something funny so I can sit here and start laughing. Because I believe laughter is a sign of joy. And I bet you I like to laugh. So I didn't get a joke. I was sitting there. And have you ever noticed that that was the one magazine I always love reading? Reader's Digest has jokes. So while I stood in line, I looked at the Reader's Digest for all the jokes. And I started laughing. Hey, that one's a good one. And I was running through it. By the time I was the one people were waiting for because I got obsessed reading. And I forgot what I was doing. I was having such a good time with the Lord. So he wants to change us. Now, I want to change that picture. First and second Adam. That's the second Adam. You guys did know that. Okay. How many were at camp this summer? Were you guys there? Do you remember the picture I put on the board? Just shake your head yes. I knew you did. Okay. This is our spirit. I've got to get another pen because I don't put the lids back on. And I know I'm in trouble. The spirit. This is our soul. And this is our body. Now, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, he comes in here and we are born again. The seed of his life comes in our spirit. We are born again. And that is how many days old? Do you remember what we said? It's one day old that you just got born. So however you old when you got saved. How old were you when you got saved? Don't remember. Do you remember? You guys are no fun.
I was one day.
You were one day old. Just smart Alec. Okay. Okay. Comes in here. Now how old is this? However old you were when you got saved. So let's give you a break and say that you were 6 years old because none of you remember. And this is one day old. Now, which one's going to rule? The six-year-old. He's been in charge for 6 years. Now, some of us older people, we got a little older when we were saved. So we were a lot older when the Spirit God came in us. So we had an older person and we had a one-day-old new creation in here. This is the new creation. But would anyone know we had it? Nope. It's the seed. And the seed, and I loved it when my mother told me when I planted seeds as a little girl, I couldn't see anything, so I kept digging them up because I wanted to see if they were growing. Well, that's not what you're supposed to do. But I didn't see anything, do we? So when we don't see anything, what do we think? Nothing's happening. Instead of saying, okay, I'm one day old, I'm 6 days old, and I have to keep feeding that spirit, keep saying, okay, Lord, and find one thing you can be obedient in and start being obedient in that one thing. The one thing I gave Daniel when he was, whoever knows how old he was, it was to take out the trash. One thing, take out the trash. And so one day he was sitting in front of the TV, and the trash was sitting there, running over, talk about full, running over. And what voice did he listen to? The flesh that desires, and its desires are opposed to God. And he's sitting there watching TV, so he had listened to the wrong voice. He had listened to this voice. Holy Spirit was saying, take the treasure, take the treasure. Was he not? He wants us to be obedient. He knows that trash has to go out. So I go to Daniel, and my old parenting skills would have said, take the trash out. Get up. Turn that TV off, you rebellious person, you. Go do it. I'm having obedience in this house. Bless God, the scripture says, obey your parents. And I'm a godly person. Being a godly example. And so I didn't do that, thank God. I went to Daniel and I said, Daniel, what voice did you listen to? Well, obviously he knew because he's sitting in front of the TV. And he said, I listened to Daniel. And I said, what was the Holy Spirit saying to you? Take out the trash. Yes. And you disobeyed. Therefore, you need to what class? Repent. Yes. He repented. And we prayed. And we prayed, Holy Spirit, we're giving you this. We're asking you to change Daniel's will, that your voice gets a little louder, and there's more of you and less of Daniel. And so this begins to grow, and it begins to take over the will that wants to do its thing. It begins to renew the mind and says, you've chosen the wrong thing. You want to watch TV? You better go take the trash out. And your emotions are getting angry because you don't want to stop watching TV. So the Spirit says, you need to repent for your anger. Repent for your anger and go take the trash out. This is the process of the Holy Spirit dealing with us. And the more we obey the Holy Spirit, the more he will grow in us. We grow from glory to glory to glory. That's why obedience is important. It's crucial. And that's why, parents, I told your children, they are to obey you. They're commanded by Scripture to obey their parents. Now, your responsibility, parents, is to be God's representatives. Because you represent Christ to your children. And this process is where what we're going after. And what we as parents need to help show our kids is what's different. Is that I watched Daniel turn the TV off, but he got distracted and didn't get the trash done. So that was the next generation. I walked it through to where he came obedient to take that trash out, to where he could hear the Spirit and rule over his own flesh. The new creation continued to grow and take over the old creation. It happens in every area of our life. But with kids, you start with one, whatever you want to start with. Start giving them the ability to hear the internal cop. He wants to be that to them. He is the Holy Spirit. And when that Holy Spirit is older than they are, all that can come from this vessel is holiness because it's in charge of the flesh and will rule it. So they're sitting in a car sometime with even in group settings where there's a lot of them in the car, but you got three in the back seat and there's a girl there and two guys, and one guy's starting to get fresh and starting to put his hand on your leg. Now the Spirit of God that's holy is going to say, slap that hand. And you won't even think twice. You slap that hand because you have learned to listen to the internal cop. Now if you are older than the cop, you'll go, oh, but they'll embarrass me. And he'll get mad at me. And he might hit me back. And you will argue with the Spirit. Because you know better. That's why it is crucial. Parents, that you start teaching your children to listen to and allow this to grow. Because your voice won't do it anymore. You don't go to school with them. You're not going to be in cars with them. You're not going to be in the playground with them. God will be with them. He's the only safety they'll have to guide him and direct him. I had gotten a word from the Lord to minister to Daniel, and it was the scripture about who's the guy that wanted Tamar? Amnon? Is that what's his name? Okay, Amnon, that story. And the Lord said that I was teach the principle to Daniel that he needs to even watch what looks okay. So I said, okay. So we were sitting down. I said, Daniel, the Lord told me that I was to tell you the story. And I proceeded to tell him the story. Now, he's in college at this time. It's a few years ago. And I proceeded to tell him the story that Amnon wanted Tamar. And he wanted her for his own. And so he plotted with his friend and he said, let's have my sister, half-sister, whatever she was, come over and fix me dinner. So the friend goes to King David and says, can Tamar come over to Amnon's house and fix him a meal? Now that sounds, well, sure. And David said, well, of course, not a problem with that. So Tamar goes over to fix the meal, and in the process, Amnon rapes her. Now, the first time I read that story, I went to the Lord and said, how can I prevent that with my children? What was David's sin? And he said, David's sin was he didn't ask me. He asked him about going to war. He asked me about how to bring the tabernacle, but when it came to his family, because it was just the meal. And I thought, I would be guilty of the same thing, Lord, because it doesn't sound harmful to me, so therefore it might be safe. Now, this is the experience I had, and then I'll go to David. This lesson I learned, so I start saying, okay, I'm going to pray about everything with my kids. I don't care what it is. So Casey comes home. He's in high school at the time. He comes home and he says, Mom, can I go to Dairy Queen? And I'm thinking, what's with Dairy Queen? My spirit said, no. So I said, no. And he said, why? And he goes, I don't know why. Spirit said, no. And then I said, you want me to go find out? It'll take me a while. The God tells me why, so you have to hang around here. And he realized that could take days. So he said, never mind, I won't go. So I'm wherever I am. I hear him on the phone in the other room. And I hear him say to whoever he's talking to, I don't know how she knew I wasn't going to Dairy Queen. Well, I didn't know he wasn't going to Dairy Queen. But I know a God who is omniscient. And he knew. Now, he probably would have walked through Dairy Queen to wherever he was going. So when he came home, he could say, I went to Dairy Queen. Well, he did. He passed through, but he didn't stay there, but he went. I know you kids don't do anything like that. But so I'm talking to Daniel, telling him this story. And I said, Daniel, you have to pray about even something that sounds good. He got this big grin on his face, and I said, what? He said, Mom, it happened last night. He said, I was with my friends. We were at one house, one of my guys' house. We were around playing games, having a good time. We got in the car, and the guy said, hey, let's go over to so-and-so's house and, hang out with them. And they're on their way there, and I think it was as they got in front of the door, the Spirit said to Daniel, don't go in. And he said to his friends, I've got to go home. Now, for a college kid to say to his friends at 10 at night, I got to go home. And I said, what was their response? He said, they ridiculed me. They laughed at me. He said, I didn't care. God said, go home. Now, don't you want that with your children? I'm sitting there going, dear Jesus, thank you. And I said, well, did you find out what happened? He said, yeah, the place was busted. Well, he would have been arrested because he would have been there. Pastor talked about preventive this morning. God really does want to prevent you from getting yourself into trouble, but your flesh opposes that voice and wants to destroy you. Yes. It only knows how to bring death into your life. The Spirit is the only life giver and wants to save you from yourselves. We're going to pray for you tonight. And that song we sang, that the last one on the fire, consuming fire, I want to sing that one again and in closing, because I want us to commit ourselves. Because it talked about the Holy Spirit coming in and directing and leading you and guiding you. I would like the counselors of the kids that were here this weekend to come up. We're going to pray, lay hands on these kids. And first of all, I'm going to say to you kids that, what am I telling you we need to repent for? It's called F-L-E-S-H. Flesh. I spelled it kind of fast. Flesh. And that we have listened to its voice, have we not? More than we have the Spirit's voice. And we need to repent for that. And we need to ask the Lord, even if you don't want it, then you ask the Lord, change my will that I can start being obedient to you. I want to start listening to your voice. I want to start hearing your voice. And parents, you need to start teaching your children to listen to the internal call. Teach them how to listen to this and be obedient to it. Okay, counselors, where are you? Come up here. And the kids that were in camp, first of all, go to who your counselors. Come up here, because they're going to come in front of you. And then I'm going to call other people to help us to pray.